Greetings to all of you again in the name of our Savior Jesus Christ. It is my privilege to be here to worship God, our Father, with you, also to have fellowship with you. So it is a privilege for me as well to share God's word and God's truth with you this morning. So before we meditate on God's word, let us turn to the Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we give thanks unto thee for thy grace, thy good work in us, especially the work of the Holy Spirit, so that we may see our shortcomings, our sins, and we may repent, we may accept the Lord Jesus as our Savior, and that we may press on to dedicate our life unto thee and to commit our life unto thee to serve thee. We give thanks unto thee for thy good work. May thou continue thy good work until our Savior comes again. We give thanks unto thee. We also give thanks unto thee for thy word, thy command. And thou commands us to follow peace with all men and holiness, with the which no man will see the Lord. Father, be gracious unto us and help us to understand and to do thy command. We give thanks unto thee. Be gracious to all of us now, and may the Holy Spirit illumine our hearts and open our eyes to see thy truth, to see thy will, open our ears to hear thy still small voice, and open our heart to receive thy word, not rejecting thy word, but receiving thy word with gladness. And may thou use thy word to sanctify us as well. And may thou also use the blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse us now, to sanctify us, to wash us from all our shortcomings, our sins, unrighteousness before thee. May thou also be gracious, merciful unto me, and anoint me so that I may minister thy word unto thy people. Without the Holy Spirit, I am nothing and am useless and helpless. Father, be gracious to all of us and hear our prayers. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. So, we have memorized two verses in Romans chapter 3. As it is written, no one is righteous. No, not one. So, no one, including pastors, no one is righteous. That is why we need the Savior Jesus Christ. And for all have sinned, come short of the glory of God. All, without exception, even the pastors have sinned. Even when we come short of the glory of God, come short of His presence, come short of His holiness, come short of His righteousness, come short of His love, it is sin already. So may God help you to remember that, and it will help you and me to be humble, and we shall not despise others because we still have a lot of shortcomings, and we still need God's grace every day, every moment. And so we should bear with the immature brethren or even sinners outside of Christ. We have to love them and pray for them, and may God use us to bring them to His kingdom and to spiritual maturity. Now, we shall try to memorize this verse, a short verse. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14. Shall we read altogether? Follow read all together. Follow peace with all men, and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Again, follow peace with all men, and holiness, without which no man will see the Lord. May God bless the reading of His holy word. Follow peace and holiness. What are you and I following or pursuing? The verb follow in Greek means to follow, to strive hard for something, to pursue, to seek after something, diligently, earnestly, until we obtain it. So what are people pursuing nowadays? They don't mind their health. They don't mind their time. They want, for example, for those who do business, they want to do good business. They pursue what they want to earn more. Sometimes they don't mind their time and their energy to be richer, to be more successful in their business. How about the students? You also try to good best results and best degrees. And for the brethren, working brethren, so try your best to be promoted. So people nowadays, everywhere, they are pursuing many things. Sometimes people just pursue worldly pleasures, enjoy this, enjoy that, and but how about peace and how about holiness? It is not wrong that the students has to try hard, to work hard, stay hard to get good results, or the worker work hard to be promoted. But we should not forget that the main purpose that God has planned for all of us when we are living here on earth, we have to pursue peace and holiness. And the verb follow or pursue, in Greek it is in the simple present tense, in active imperative, and it denotes a constant pursuing. A constant command, continuous command. You and I must keep following non-stop. Keep pursuing peace and holiness each day, non-stop. After the church service, I must continue to pursue peace and holiness. Are we doing that? So we fail to keep God's commandment. And that is our shortcoming. And we have to repent. We have to ask the Lord to wash us, cleanse us. So we shall meditate the first part, follow peace with all men. Why? Why to follow peace? And with all men, without any exception, with all men. Because our God, the Father, is the God of peace. Our Lord is the Lord of peace, the King of peace, the Prince of peace. So we are God's children. We must be the children of peace as well. And with all men, and we have to start from family. Do we have peace in the family? Do we have peace between husbands and wives, parents and children, and between the siblings, brothers and sisters? Do we have peace at home? Nowadays, because people just are selfish and worldly and ungodly, they just do what they want to do, so no peace in their hearts, no peace in their homes, no peace. Domestic violence and family breakdowns and divorces and so on. Not a happy home. So sad. But we are in Christ, in the Lord Jesus Christ. We are God's children. And God is the God of peace. And God is able to help you and me to follow peace with all men. We must be willing to die to ourselves, to self, to my ego. Usually I like this, I don't like that. And if we insist what we like or dislike, and we may do not want to give up our likes or dislikes, and we want to quarrel with others, and no peace at all, we have to learn to deny ourselves, even our benefits, our interests, so that we can keep peace in our heart, peace in the family. And we need God's love. The fruit of the Holy Spirit is love and peace and joy and long-suffering and goodness, gentleness, meekness, and faith and temperance or self-control. So the Lord is able to help you and me to have peace in heart and to want peace with all men. So students, when you study hard in your schools, in your unis, you try your best. And the secular people, they want to compete with others. I want the best. And they are not happy because they envy others when others are more successful or get better results. But for us, with our love, we don't care about that. We don't care about that. Even we can say to them, congratulations, with our true and sincere heart. Congratulations, you have done so well. You are very good. So we have peace in our heart. We don't envy others. And work in brethren as well. When others are promoted, but you are not, you should be contented with what the Lord has given to you, and in his due time, he may promote you. Promotion is not from the north, not from the south, not from the west, but from the Lord. So we can trust in him. So follow peace with all men. Even in the church, many friends, in the church, it's just we must have love from God. We love God and we love one another. We must be considerate because not all the church members are the same. Some may suffer other things that they don't share with us. Cannot understand all the brethren in the church and their struggles in their hearts. And some immature believers, so they have not learned and known all the truth, all the teachings from the Bible. So they may still show their carnal mind or carnal heart and desires. We should bear with them and pray for them. We should follow peace even in the church with the outsiders as well. It does not mean that we have to compromise and we lower God's holy standard because God commands you and me to be separate. But when we share the gospel with others and they reject us, they argue, we should avoid arguments because they are still in darkness. They cannot see the truth. We have to pity them. Even though we may convince them and we may win the arguments, but even the convincing arguments cannot change them, cannot draw them to the Lord Jesus Christ. So we have to be gentle with others when they even reject God's truth and the gospel. We know that those people in darkness, they cannot see. So when we tell that, oh, you know that this book, for example, is, for example, the cover of this book is red, for example, but they cannot see. They see only black, and they argue, this is not red, this is black. So we should pity them. They are in darkness. Pray for them, and we can have peace with them. And later, 1 month later, 1 year later, when we meet them again, oh, they may continue to hear us. Because we argue so hard, and we may defeat them, but later they avoid us. We just be gentle and be kind, be loving. We just show the truth. We are not compromising. We tell the truth. Oh, you may don't agree with me, but I believe my God. I believe His word. His word is truth. So I believe in His word. So if you do not believe, so I hope that maybe later you can see. Just gently and talk with them. We avoid arguments. We keep peace and follow peace with all men, with the friends. You see that the churches nowadays, they want to attract many people to the church. They focus on size and numbers, so they have contemporary music to attract young people. They clap their hands and they jump. The worship, they're singing a lot of time. And for the preaching, 10 minutes. And speaking in tongues as well. So the worship service is like confusion. Speak in tongues. No one can understand and can be edified. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, the Bible says that God is not the God of confusion, but of peace, and in order. So we thank God for the worship service of the Bible Presbyterian Church. We worship God with reverence and in order. And in Matthew chapter 5, verse 9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. So are you and I the peacemakers? Wherever we live, we are peacemakers, not troublemakers, peacemakers, to help others to be reconciled with God. And to be reconciled with one another. So may God help you me to keep the first commandment, the first command from this verse, full of peace with all men, at home, at school, at work, at church, and everywhere. And then second part is to follow holiness. The now holiness in Greek means sanctification, consecration. And we have to keep pursuing holiness, sanctification, consecration every day. Even though we have to study, we have to work, we have to do many other things, but we should not forget this command. Follow holiness and sanctification. And why? We see the second part, without which, without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. No man. God has no respect of persons. No man. Very clear. Including pastors. No man. Why? God is holy. People nowadays like to hear about God's love, God's grace, God's blessings. That's true. We thank God that because of His love, we are saved. We thank God because of His grace and His mercy, we are saved. But we should forget that God is holy, and that is His main attribute. So when the angels and the 24 elders in heaven worship God, worship the triune God, recorded in Revelation chapter 4, we see they say, holy, holy, holy. Not loving, 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 no. Because God's love is holy love. So may God help you to remember that God is holy and we must be holy. We see in Leviticus chapter 11 verse 44 and 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 16 that we just read responsibly in 1 Peter chapter 1. Thank you, Deacon Jimmy, for choosing 1 Peter chapter 1 for the responsive reading. Be ye holy, for I am holy. Not only once here in 1 Peter, but other parts of the scripture as well. God says, for I am holy. Our Father. We see that the Lord Jesus prayed to His Father in John chapter 17. Jesus prayed, Holy Father, righteous Father. Even though the Father is also a loving Father, but Jesus just addressed Holy Father and righteous Father. So may God help me to remember that God is holy and He commands you to be His holy children, holy people. Otherwise, no man will see the Lord. In the New English versions, they're based on the Westcott and Hort text. So no man will see God. But very clear in the text, thus recepted, the received Greek text, no man shall see the Lord. It means that no man will see the Lord Jesus when he comes again. Jesus will come again very soon. And if you and I fail to follow, to pursue holiness, we shall not see him. Jesus has warned us that one will be taken up, and one will be left behind. We don't want to be left behind. And we have to follow holiness. It is serious. God is holy. His kingdom is holy kingdom. Because of his holiness, Jesus said that he had to die to sanctify and to cleanse the church. So may God help you to know the reason why we have to follow holiness and keep on following holiness each day. Non-stop. Follow holiness. And now, we shall understand the meaning of sanctification. According to Leviticus chapter 20, verse 26, I shall read unto you, Leviticus chapter 20, verse 26. And ye shall be holy unto me. Not to be holy to show that, oh, I am more holy than you. No. Holy to me. God requires you and me to be holy because he is holy. For I, the Lord, am holy and have severed. Severed means separated. I have separated you from other people that ye should be mine. So sanctification has three abiding points that we cannot separate. Three abiding steps we cannot separate. The first step is separation, to separate ourselves unto the Lord. And the second step is to consecrate, dedicate ourselves to the Lord so that we are not our own, but we are the Lord's. Here we see that very clear that ye should be mine. We belong to the Lord. And the third point, the third step, we see in Exodus chapter 29, verse 43. Exodus chapter 29, verse 43. I shall read. And there I will meet with the children of Israel, and the tabernacle shall be sanctified by my glory. We have seen come short of the glory of God, the presence of God, the holy presence of God. And here we are sanctified by the holy presence of God. So if we miss any step of the full meaning of sanctification, we are not holy before God. We are not sanctified before God, dear friends. So the first step is separation. And this is very important. We have to separate ourselves from the world, from sin, from ungodliness, worldliness, even from our own desires, our own man, our sinful nature. We must be separate. Why? Because God is holy and God commands us to be separate. Like in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17, we see that, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate. Be ye separate, said the Lord. This is not from the pastor, not from BB Church, said the Lord. The word from God our Creator, be ye separate, and touch not the unclean thing. In the original language, touch not the unclean. Stop there. The unclean may refer to unclean people, ungodly people, and ungodly articles, or summons ungodly or worldly things, sins and pornography and worldly movies and many things, the unclean. Touch not, don't touch, don't watch, don't listen to worldly music, stop there. Touch not the unclean. And then I will receive you. God does not receive own. God commands us to be separate and touch not the unclean, so that God may receive you and we shall be his sons and his daughters. So may God help you to examine ourselves, my dear friends. We must be sanctified and we must be separated. God is holy. I have to check our lives. We need to know the news, the world news, so that we may know what is happening in the world. And we are living in the end times. Wars and rumor of wars and natural disasters here and there. We must know the news we follow. But many other articles over there as well, advertisements, and we must be careful. We don't want to be defiled, even though we do not commit those sins, but we only see, we only hear, and we may be defiled already. In our heart, our mind, our memory, so have been contaminated only. And we remember, remember. And we are defiled only. So we must be careful to select what we need to know. Not all things are good, even on the internet. Pornography over there. And many Christian websites, and we must be careful. So may God help me to keep ourselves clean and pure. We have to stop. Even worldly music, we have to stop. Do you know that when you and I enter into a room, if that room is very filthy, very dirty, smelly, we can detect right away. We cannot stay there. But if we are living in that same room day after day, and then we are used to it, we don't see it is smelly anymore. And then sometimes we go to other places and we miss that smell as well. That is the spiritual conditions of people nowadays. When they let their children listen to worldly music. Listen, the parents do not stop them. So they let the children listen to contemporary music, to worldly music. And then, when the parents pass away, the children just enjoy. And they bring even worldly music into the church. And they don't see that it is worldly. They see that it is good. It may attract more young people. We see that when the rock and roll band, the Beatles, started their rock music, all the churches reject that kind of music. They reject right away. But slowly, their conscience is not sensitive anymore. The first generation, they let the children enjoy the worldly music. And then when the godly generation passed away, all the young generation, it's good, just bring into the church. And then slowly, this church and another church, because you see, that church, they have contemporary music and a lot of people. Our church is small. We have to follow them. So that is why we see that is a little bit leaven the whole lump, the whole dough. So we must be separated, my dear friends. That is God's commandment, not BB Church. We thank God that BB Church, we follow God's word and the doctrine of separation. Not easy to follow, but is follow holiness. The first step is sanctification. So if you see that your friends and your friendship is not godly, you have to stop. Usually I used to have friends. So when they email me and they want to contact me, and then usually I share the gospel with them because my love, share the gospel with them. And if they still keep in touch with me, I continue to share the gospel with them. And if they see that, this man or this guy keeps telling me about the gospel or the faith in Jesus Christ, I don't want it. So they will stop. So we have more time for the Lord and for other people. So Satan may use ungodly friends to consume our times. A lot of times, especially Facebook, you see that I don't have Facebook. A lot, if you can use Facebook, you share the gospel with others, good. Share with your friends. And then they will not keep in touch with you anymore. That's good. So may God help you and me to keep ourselves separate. And when we watch a TV program, and when we watch, and then we say that, after I finish watching, I am not closer to the Lord. But it seems that I am far from the Lord. So I have to stop right away. I don't want to be drawn away from God. The Lord Jesus Christ, my life, my vine, am the branch. I don't want to be far away from him. Otherwise, I have no life, no strength, no nutrition from the vine. So we got help me to do the first step, very important, separation. And next, not enough. Many think that, I do a lot of separation in my life. Like some religions in the world, they shut themselves in a faraway place, far from the world, on the mountain or in the temples, far away from the world. And they think that they are holy. But no, That is only the first step. Only the first step. The second step is dedication. Consecration. You and I must dedicate our lives unto the Lord to belong to Him. That is the second step of sanctification. Not only for the ministers, it means the pastors, but for all of us, for His people. You don't wait until you are called to serve the Lord full time, and you dedicate your life. No, you dedicate your life. We remember the verse in Romans chapter 12. By the mercy of God, I beseech you to present, to dedicate your body as a living and holy sacrifice. Living and holy sacrifice. That is the reasonable, acceptable worship or service unto the Lord. This is the living. So moment by moment, when I am still living, I must be a holy and living sacrifice. I can try to be holy in the church? No. Not enough. Outside of the church, I must keep on following, pursuing holiness at home, at church, at work, everywhere. And that's not enough. We see that many also separate themselves from the world, and they enter into monasteries, to the convents, to shut themselves from the world. And they even sincerely dedicate their lives to the Lord, like the monks, like the nuns. But they don't have the Holy Spirit. They don't have the presence of the Holy God. No holiness at all. No holiness at all. Even they may fulfill the first two steps already. So you and I must remember the third step. We must have the Holy Presence with us, with each one of us, and that is true holiness. Because it is not what we try our best to gain it, but we are holy because we have the Holy Presence of God with us. We see when God appeared to Moses with the burning bush, and God commanded him to take off his shoes because that land is holy because of God's presence. But later, when the presence of God is not there, it's like normal, no more holy. You now have to see this truth, so that we have to treasure the presence of God in us. Moment by moment, without the Lord, we have no true holiness. People in the world, they think that they are holier, they are more holy than others because of what they can discipline themselves, and they try harder to keep or to practice some religious rites and rituals and teachings, so they think that they are the saints. No, we must have the presence of God. So that is the command from God in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled with Spirit. And this is also in the simple present tense. Active, imperative. We must keep on being filled, being controlled with the Holy Spirit, by the Holy Spirit. That is my shortcoming already. Maybe when I come to worship, I come to preach God's word, oh, ask the Holy Spirit be with me, control me. But how about out of the church? Many things in the world may distract me. I'm still have the Holy Spirit, but he does not have the full control. So may God help you, me, to remember that we have to keep on, we have to keep being filled with the Holy Spirit, because with the holy presence of God, we are holy before God. Otherwise, we are not sanctified wholly. We look at the tabernacle in the wilderness, and later the temple that Solomon built. And then when they dedicated the tabernacle or the temple, at first they had to separate the tabernacle and the temple, separate from everything else, everyone else, and dedicated to God alone. And then they experienced the glory of God, the presence of God descended upon the tabernacle and the temple, so much that Moses could not stay there, and the priests could not stay there because of the glory of God. When we let the Holy Spirit control us, no more self, no more ego, no more place, because of his presence, his glory. But we see that when the people of Israel rejected God and turned to idolatry, so the glory of God, the presence of God, departs from the temple. And the temple was trembled by the heathens, by the unbelievers. The Lord Jesus was angry when he entered to the temple in Jerusalem. And the zeal of the Lord forced him to use a whip to chase out all the merchants over there, to overturn all the tables that sell things and change monies. Jesus said that, don't make my father's house. And another gospel said that, my house. So God's the father's house, so the Lord Jesus' house the same. This is my father's house, a house of prayer to communicate with God, to have fellowship with God. But you turn to a den of thieves. Nowadays we see that all the churches, they turn their church to a dance of worldliness, of thieves, because they steal the money from God, because God's people dedicate or offer money to the church. It is the church, God's money, to use for the church, but they use for themselves and for their own glory. You see that, for example, they do social works, and they put their name over there. Joy Mayor Ministry, they put their name over there. They steal God's glory. They steal God's money to do their own will, own way. So no sanctification in them, no. Without God's presence. So may God help you, may to treasure God's presence, God's holy presence in our hearts, in our family, and in our church. And because I want the Holy God to be with me, I have to separate myself from sin, worldliness, and from anything that is not pleasing him. I have to be sensitive. When you and I read God's word, we shall know more about this. And how to be sanctified? We thank God that the triune God created the world and human beings. And the triune God also planned the salvation for mankind. And the triune God also do the work of sanctification all by God's grace alone. We have our little part. It is our responsibility to obey God, to submit ourselves to God. Like the clay itself cannot be transformed. It has to be in the hands of the potter, and the potter can mold the clay and to make it a useful, a nice vessel. We have to commit ourselves into the hands of our Father, the divine potter, for his work, his good work. So the Bible references, you see that, tells us that God the Father sanctifies you and me, and the Lord Jesus Christ sanctifies you and me, and the Holy Spirit sanctifies you and me. So his work never fails, never fails, because he is Almighty God. We trust in him. We just do our part. He can sanctify you and me wholly, perfectly. And second, God sanctifies you and me by his word. Like the prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ to his Father, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. God is holy and his word is holy. Holy scriptures, holy word. When you and I read secular articles, worldly articles, we are not sanctified by those things. But when we read, we meditate, or when we hear God's word, we hear God's word. In the Bible study, in the prayer meeting, the worship service, we shall be sanctified. God's word is powerful. God's word created the things. God spoke, and it was created. So God's word is able to regenerate you and me, like we just read responsive reading. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. Being sanctified, not by corruptible seed, but incorruptible seed, by the word of God, which liveth and abides forever. So when you and I read God's word, not only we are regenerated, but after regeneration, we are sanctified, my dear friends. So you and I have to read God's word every day. The more we read, we meditate on God's word, like the prayer of Deacon Jimmy, even we hide God's word in our heart, and then we are sanctified. Amazing. God's word is about to sanctify you and me. God can do the work directly, and God do through his word, his truth. So you should not miss reading God's word in your home. Some just go to church and listen to the message, but they do not read the Bible at home and cannot be sanctified, cannot. And you should spend more time to read God's word, to meditate on God's word. It is our spiritual food as well. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word proceeds out of the mouth of God. We have to read God's word every day. And should not miss the Bible study. There we can study more about God's word and the fellowship with the saints, the worship service, where God may use God's word to sanctify us, my dear friends. And next, by Jesus' blood. Like in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 12, he must sanctify the people with his own blood, suffer without the gate. So when we read God's word, the Holy Spirit will show our shortcomings and convict us of our sins, and we need the blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse us. In darkness, you and I cannot see, the dirt, the stain on the dirt in our face. So we don't need the water to wash our face. But in the light, we can see. With the mirror, we can see. The Bible is like the mirror. So we read God's word, the Holy Spirit will show us our shortcomings. And we need the blood of Jesus Christ more and more. Not only once, but every moment of our life. To be washed, to be sanctified by his blood. And next, I just read before, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit control us. The Holy Spirit grieves when we quench him, many friends. When we fail to listen to him, the still, small voice. When you and I read the Bible, the Holy Spirit also work in you and me. And then maybe the whole chapter, we only remember one verse or one point, the work of the Holy Spirit. And then after a few months, we read that chapter again, and then we see more points, more teachings, more commandments touching our heart. That is the work of the Holy Spirit. And he stores God's word in our hearts, in our mind. And then, in our living, in our work, in our studies, when we encounter temptations, when we want to know what to do, and the Holy Spirit will remind us, you should not do that. It's not good. It will not help you to be sanctified. You must be separate. And then we must be cooperative. We must obey the still small voice of the Holy Spirit. We should not quench the Holy Spirit, my dear friends. We should not grieve him. Because he is the seal in the day of redemption. When the Lord Jesus comes, many may say, I know the Lord. Oh Lord, I have prophesied in your name, and I have cast out demons in your name, and I have performed miracles in your name. But they do not have the seal of the Holy Spirit. They fail to worship or to serve God according to God's will. So Lord Jesus, I have never known you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. So you and I must cooperate God's work, my dear friends. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 to 13, and 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22, tells us that we have to obey God, my dear friends. God's will for you and me is to be sanctified. So when the Holy Spirit prompts you and me not to do that, you must do this, we have to obey him. And if we fail to obey, that is sin. Disobedience is sin, my dear friends. So may God be gracious to you and me, and remember God's command, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man will see the Lord when he comes. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, how we give thanks unto thee for thy grace and thy mercy upon us. May thou speak to us and sanctify us by thy word, by the blood of Jesus Christ, and by the Holy Spirit. O Father, we commit all of us unto thee. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Thank you very much.